I was preparing my message usually earlier than my normal routine of preparing a message last week, and I thought, wow, I have gotten my message early and ready to go here, Lord. So, well, praise the Lord, wherever this message fits, then I'll use it. And then I started thinking ahead what the rest of the week was going to be like, with Friday night being graduation here at Rhema, and then we were busy Saturday, and then Sunday, her birthday, and the Lord knew I'd be cooking and hosting dinner guests. He got me ready in advance. So he's the God who looks ahead. And I wish I had a bigger amen there. He can see what's going on in your life this coming week. And if you'll be sensitive to him, he can prepare you in advance for stuff that hadn't happened yet. I said, he's that kind of God. He's the God who can show you more on your knees than you can see through a telescope. Yes. You have your Bible tonight in Mark chapter 7. We'll begin in Mark chapter 7. Mark chapter 7, we'll start at verse 31. I'll just show you my cards tonight. My title of my sermon is How to Get Ahead of the Crowd. You say, what kind of title of a sermon is that? Help me with my title tonight. How to Get Ahead of the Crowd. Say that again. I'm not always successful at this, but I pride myself in trying to get ahead of the crowd. You know, today I had to get ahead of the crowd. We didn't shake hands at the door today. I begged off of shaking hands because I had ribs on my smoker, and I had those, you know, you got to pull those at 2:05. I pulled those ribs about 2:05. I had my ribs on and my pulled pork, but I had to get to the store and get my collard greens and get them under pressure before our dinner guest arrives. And so the Hagans were so sweet, they let me leave without shaking hands. So I jumped in the car. So I didn't shake hands today, but I jumped in the car. But I thought, man, I got to get ahead of the crowd. I got to get to Walmart, get the stuff I need, get out of Walmart, get back and get my dinner prepared. I was trying to beat the crowd. I'm always trying to beat the crowd. I'm not always successful at it, but I'm always trying to beat the crowd. If I'm in traffic, I anticipate which way is the flow of traffic going. You know, I'm an old FedEx guy. You know, Don, Daddy, you know, I'm an old FedEx guy. And sometimes some of my old training kick in. I think, well, the flow of traffic's going this way. But if I cut down two streets and cut over left and run through an alley and climb up a back wall, I can get there 1 minute ahead of the crowd. I'm always trying to beat the crowd. Going on vacation, I'm trying to beat the crowd. I took Tony out on a date not long ago. I said, baby, if you look at this menu in advance, when the waitress comes, we'll beat the crowd. We can order when the waitress comes. I'm always trying to beat the crowd. See a line somewhere? I say, oh, that's nice. I'll go around somewhere else, try to beat the crowd. Not always successful, but I'm always trying to beat the crowd. Anybody else try to beat the crowd? It's just me. Oh, yeah. I thought I was going to have one hand the way y'all was laughing at me. The title of the sermon is How to Beat the Crowd. Well, let's pick it up here. We're in Mark chapter 6, if you will, and I'm going to start at verse 31, and I'm going to read down to 36. We're in Mark, the Gospel of Mark, chapter 6. I'm reading from verse 31 to 36. I'm reading from the New American Standard Version, if you will. He said to them, "Come away by yourselves to a secluded place and rest a while. For there were many people coming and going, and they did not even have time to eat. And they went away in the boat to a secluded place by themselves. And the people saw them going, and many recognized them and ran there together on foot from all the cities and got there ahead of them. And when Jesus went ashore, he saw a large crowd." Now, when Jesus saw the large crowd, his response to the crowd was different than the disciples' response to the crowd. Because if you read the disciples' response to the crowd, ultimately they just tell Jesus later in the story, they say, send these people away. It's getting late, then they're going to get hungry, then they're going to start looking to us. And I'm sure the disciples were thinking, we were going away on a retreat. This was just supposed to be us and Jesus. And now the crowd has barged their way in to our retreat time, and they've interfered with our rest time. We haven't even had time to eat. We've been ministering to so many people. We've been giving and giving and giving and giving. And when the crowd saw which way they were going, the crowd said, oh, I bet you they're going to so-and-so. And they ran on foot and got there ahead of them. And I'm sure when the disciples saw that crowd, they were thinking, please go away. But Jesus looks at the situations and circumstances and people so differently. And he calls you and I to look at people and circumstances and situations differently than in the natural. That's right. I said, I wish I had a bigger amen. Jesus looked at that big crowd, and what happened? He felt compassion. And he started teaching and ministering to the people. And finally, time passed, and the disciples said, send them home. Get rid of them. Get rid of the crowd. Jesus, they're bothering us. They came in on our, we're supposed to have our time with you. And they said, these people are going to get hungry. Send them away now. So before they start getting hungry and asking us for food, there's no place to eat here. And then you know what Jesus said. You give them something to eat. They were so far in the natural. They said, wait a minute. There's no way to feed the, if we, let's see, let me add 6, carry to 2. If we worked and went and got paycheck, we put out all our paycheck. They said, if we worked 6 months, we wouldn't have enough money to feed this crowd. The Bible says there were 5,000 men, not counting the women and the children. There were 5,000 men in the crowd, so you had to have a crowd of at least 10,000. And they said, if we stopped right now, Jesus, your assertion that we go and feed the crowd is ridiculous. If we stopped right now and went to work, we'd have to work 6 months. We still wouldn't have enough money to feed this crowd. So how could you dare say to us, feed the crowd? Oh, but it was compassion that was speaking through Jesus. And sometimes, my brother and sister, we have to be sensitive to him so that compassion rises up in us. And there's a time when we need to minister to the crowd in the sphere of influence that's around us. You understand what I mean by that? There are people around you and I every single day that need ministry of one type or another. Sometimes it's just an encouragement. Sometimes it's an encouraging hug. Sometimes it's just a smile. Sometimes it's a handshake. Sometimes it's, instead of mean mugging somebody, sometimes it's turning around and saying, I hope you're having a good day. God loves you. You can minister to people in the most phenomenal ways in your own sphere of influence. And sometimes we're so busy trying to get ahead of the crowd that without that compassion for the crowd, we'll lose out on opportunities to minister to the crowd. But there are opportunities in all of our lives when God wants you and I to minister to the crowd. And you say, but I'm tired. I've worked all week. I've volunteered at church. I've given over here. I've done this for people. And that's all well. Bless you for that. But in spite of your weariness, oftentimes God will call you to minister to the crowd. There's a crowd around you that needs a comforting word, that needs an encouragement. There's a crowd around you somewhere that needs you to bake bread or bake them cookies. There's a crowd around you. I've said so often I remember one time looking at my neighbor trying to, Mrs. Musgrove, she was trying to pull her lawnmower and trying to start her mower, and my grass was all cut and trimmed, and I was looking over there, and the Lord said, go do something about that. And I went over there and said, Mrs. Musgrave, give me that. Let me do that. And then the Lord, when I did that, I cut her grass. And the Lord said, do something about it. I knew what he was saying. Cut her grass. I cut her grass every week, my son and I. Oh. You say, I don't cut grass. You can bake bread. You say, I don't break bread. You can give a smile, an encouragement. You can call somebody who's gone through a tough time and encourage them with the word. There's someone right around you in your sphere of influence who needs to hear from Christ that he loves them, that they can make it, that in spite of what they're going through, that God loves them and that God will lift them up again and that God will restore them. And he wants to say that and do that through you. Jesus felt compassion for the crowd. And compassion brings miracles. Compassion brings miracles. And so there's got to be compassion for the crowd. Go with me. Go one chapter back to Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5. Let's look at another situation with the crowd. That situation, the Lord Jesus teaches you and I to have compassion. That first one here at Mark 6. But now we're going backwards to Mark 5. Here's another situation with a crowd of people. And here I'm going to start at verse 24. It's the woman with the issue of blood. No doubt you'll recognize this story. Mark 5, starting at 24. He went off with him, and a large crowd was following him and pressing in on him. And a woman who had a hemorrhage for 12 years and had endured much at the hands of many physicians, had spent all that she had, was not helped at all, but rather had grown worse. And after hearing about Jesus, she came up in the crowd behind him, touched his cloak. For she thought, if I just touch his garments, I will get well. And immediately the flow of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her affliction. And immediately Jesus, perceiving in himself that power proceeding from him had gone forth, turned around in the crowd and said, who touched my garments? And his disciples said to him, you see the crowd pressing in on you, and you say, who touched me? And he looked around to see the woman who had done this. But the woman, fearing and trembling and aware of what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction. You know, this woman had an amazing miracle because she reached out. Everybody was touching him, but nobody was touching him by faith. And she reached out in the midst of her problem, and she touched him by faith. And do you know, here at the end of this story, he said to her, he said, daughter, he said, your faith, it was your faith. Somebody said, well, Jesus did a miracle for her. He did. But I tell you, it was her faith that caused it to happen. He said, daughter, your faith did that. Your faith did that. If God's going to help you tonight, it's going to be your faith. He's going to need you. He's going to need your faith. He's going to need you to exercise faith. It's going to be your faith, your faith, your faith. He said, daughter, your faith has made you whole. Your faith has made you whole. So often we want to sit back and say, well, God, you know, my name is Jimmy. I'll take all you give me. Just do what you're going to do and just zap me. I'm not doing anything. I don't want to lift a finger. Okay, wait, I lifted a finger. No, God is saying, no, wait a minute. We've got to exercise our faith. Yeah. Oh, but when one person starts exercising faith, oh, when one person starts releasing faith, oh, you get the immediate attention of the head of the church because he can sense when faith is being released. And you may be on the back row. You may be precluded from view and nobody may even know your name. But if you'll reach out tonight, hey, and touch him with faith, God will move on your behalf right in this place right now. Oh, yes, he will. I said, oh, yes, he will. And so we see the commitment. We saw compassion required in that first story in Mark chapter 7. But here we see commitment. This woman had to press her way through a crowd. Jesus had to have compassion on the crowd. They interrupted his retreat. But here, her commitment was required. She had to press her way through a crowd. And when you're walking through a crowd, in the midst of the crowd, I tell you what, in the midst of every crowd, there's a bunch of dream killers. People in the crowd will kill your dream. They'll stomp on your plans. They'll kill your dreams. They'll tell you every reason it won't work. They'll tell you why what God said to you is not valid. It ain't going to work for you. You say, oh, I got a new revelation about the healing of the Lord, and I'm the healer. And some people say, well, no, you know, you're not here. People try to tell you every reason why God's word won't work for you when you get around that crowd. And when you're around that kind of crowd, you have to press your way through the crowd. When the crowd is full of people who are doubting, when the crowd is full of people who are full of fear, when the crowd is full of people who are trying to tell you that you can't do what God already told you that you could do, when the crowd is full of people who are telling you that you are not who God already said you are. When you come to the crowd like that, you've got to press your way through that kind of crowd. Because people would have looked at her and said, what are you doing here? You should be back at home. You shouldn't even be out in public. They would have told her, you need to turn around. There's no way you're going to see Jesus today. We are all lined up here to see Jesus. And you are not going to see him. Sometimes when you get around people who are doubting and hating, you've got to just say, excuse me, and just take an extra step forward. Just keep walking in love and say, excuse me, and just come on a little step forward. They say, you're not going to make it. You ain't going to see Jesus. You're not going to get your prayer. Excuse me, and just keep coming forward. You know you're not doing that. You know you can't. Excuse me, and just keep on going forward. I said, sometimes you got to press your way through the crowd. I remember one time I was the lead supervisor, Thrifty Car Rentals World Headquarters, lead supervisor of the Worldwide Reservation Center. My job was just to manage the supervisors. And a big corporate job came up. And a sister who graduated from Rhema, we were going to Rhema, and her name was Joy Gaddis. And Joy I was having lunch in the break room. Joy ran in the break room, and Joy said, "Bruh, did you see that corporate job? There's a big, huge corporate job posted on the wall." And I said, "No, I didn't see that." And she said, "It's on the wall." And so I ran over there and looked at it. And, oh, man. And then something just leaped in my spirit. Apply for that. Apply for that. And I sent in my resume and applied for that. And, oh, man, I never forget what happened next. I remember there was a wonderful black sister named Pam. And she said, she cornered me and said, she said, "Bill, did you apply for that? I heard you applied for that corporate job. Somebody said you applied for that corporate job." I said, "I did." She said, "Well, can I tell you this?" She said, "There's no black person in the 25-year history of this company." She said, "We checked it out. There's no black person that's ever had the title manager in the corporate offices in the 25-year history of the company." And I said, "Then I'll be the first one." Excuse me. Sometimes you have to tell people, "Excuse me," and keep on stepping. People will try to tell you, "You're not the right color for that. You're not the right age for that. You're too old for that." And you got to say, "Excuse me," and keep on stepping. "Excuse me. You can't do that. You're not going to excuse me." You got to keep on moving. I said, "I wish I had a bigger amen." The crowd will tell you, "Where are you going? You can't do that." They were telling her, "Get back here. You can't see Jesus. Excuse me." She just kept pressing. "Excuse me. Excuse me." She kept pressing her way through the crowd. "Excuse me." I remember the senior vice president came down to talk to me before the interviews were set up. And he said, "Bill, I just want to come meet you." And I felt the night before that happened, I felt I needed to run down there to Dillard's and get a brand new shirt and a brand new tie. And I went down there and got a new shirt and new tie. And back during those days, you wore a tie and a shirt and tie to an interview like that. And so I went down there and got my shirt and tie. Because he said he'd wanted to talk to me briefly ahead of any interview. And so then he came to see me that next day. And he's the person who's going to be deciding on the job. And I never forget, he told me, he said, "Now, I came down here to tell you that you don't qualify for this job. And you seem like a nice guy." He said, "I know you're the lead supervisor of the Worldwide Reservation Center." But he said, "I'm interviewing people with sales experience of more than 10 years. And I never forget, he told me, he said, I'm flying them in. I'm paying for their tickets. I've got, I think he said 9 or 10 people. I'm flying them in. And all these people have more than 10 years. And if I checked your resume right, you don't have any sales experience. Is that right?" And I said, "That's right, sir." And then he said this, "But seeing you here in your shirt and tie, I can see something about you." He said, "Now listen, I don't want to get your hopes up." He said, "But I'm going to at least give you the interview. I came to tell you I wasn't going to give you the interview. You didn't qualify for the interview. But seeing you here in your shirt and tie, we'll give you the interview." And I said, "Sir, that's all I want is an opportunity for the interview. I appreciate that. That's all I would ask for is an opportunity for the interview." And he said, "Well, then you got it." And he set up an interview date. And I went to the interview and did the interview. And a couple of weeks later, I got a call on a Friday night. And he said, "Bill, just come up the back steps to the corporate offices. Everybody's gone now and I can talk to you." And I said, "Okay." And I started climbing the corporate steps. And I could hear the devil saying, "You didn't get this job. You didn't." And I had to say, "Excuse me. In the name of Jesus, I'm more than a conqueror. Excuse me." And I marched on up the corporate steps. And when I sat down, he was on the phone. He waved me in his office. He was on the phone. And when he hung that phone up, he said, "Bill, how would you like to come to work for me?" And it was the most fantastic job. And I had a phenomenal time working for him. And God blessed me there and gave me favor. And the very thing that it looked like I couldn't get. The crowd said, "No black person's ever had a job like that." The crowd said, "You're not getting that job." The crowd said, "You can't do that." Oh, but sometimes you have to press your way through the crowd. Press your way through those doubts. Press your way through all of that. And say, "I'm going to get what God got for me. And I don't care who says what, I'm going to get what God got for me." If it's your healing, Jesus already paid for it. You better get it. If it's your prosperity, Jesus paid for that. You better get it. If it's your peace of mind, Jesus paid for that too. You better get it. There's a crowd of people telling you, "You can't have that. You can't have peace like that. You can't have direction like that." Oh, but it's up to you. But you'll have to press your way through that kind of crowd. And she pressed her way through, and she was saying the whole time, if I just touch the hem of his garment, get back here, you can't get, if I just touch the hem of, you can't go there, if I just touch the hem of his garment. Yeah. If you'll press your way through the crowd, demonstrating your commitment, oh, it won't be long, you'll be walking in the blessing. Let's look at another situation with the crowd. In the first situation, Mark 7, we learned you have to have compassion on the crowd. The crowd needs to be ministered to. They don't mean no harm. They can be mean and say things and do things on your job, just out in public. They need ministry. They need a smile. They need the love of Jesus. The second situation, wow, we saw where commitment's required. You have to press your way through all the doubters and haters to get what God has for you. Thirdly, we're in Luke 19 now. Go with me to Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19. We're talking tonight how to get ahead of the crowd. How to get ahead of the crowd. Luke chapter 19. It was inspired, that title was inspired from this chapter. Luke chapter 19. I'm going to read verses 1 through 10 here. He entered Jericho and was passing through. And there was a man by the name of Zacchaeus. And he was a chief tax collector. And he was rich. And Zacchaeus was trying to see who Jesus was, and was unable because of the crowd, for he was small in stature. And so he ran on ahead, climbing up into a sycamore tree in order to see him, for he was about to pass through that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for today I must stay at your house. And he hurried and came down and received him gladly. And when they saw it, they all began to grumble, saying, he's gone to be the guest of a man who's a sinner. And Zacchaeus stopped and said to the Lord, behold, Lord, half my possessions I will give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I will give back four times as much. And Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, because he too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and save that which was lost. Oh, Zacchaeus here in this story, he was too short to see Jesus, and he wanted to see who Jesus was, but his own stature didn't give him the ability to see. He wasn't in a position where he could see who Jesus was. And so he anticipated which way Jesus was going. And then he made the effort to climb up in a tree. He was so hungry for change. He was so hungry for change. He made the effort. He didn't care what anybody thought about him. He didn't care what anybody else said. Well, look at him. Look at that clown up there in the tree. No, he didn't care about what anybody else said. He positioned himself so that he could see Jesus. And when he positioned himself the right way, the Lord saw him and talked to him. Yeah. Zacchaeus he wanted to change. He got out ahead of the crowd because he couldn't see him through the crowd. He couldn't see him in the midst of the crowd. What are you saying? Sometimes you'll have to get out ahead of the crowd. Sometimes you'll have to position yourself in a position with God. You'll have to make changes in your life and allow God to make changes. Because let me just say it this way. If you have to want change so bad in your life, in whatever area it is, you have to be tired of the old way you're living, and you want Christ to change to the new way you're living, and you have to be willing to change if you want to experience change. Everybody says they want change, but very few people are willing to change. Go back to what we used to say, you know, back in business, you know, insanity, you do the same thing the same way and keep expecting a different result. That's insanity. If you want a different result, you're going to have to change something you did before. You can't do the same thing the same way and expect a different result. And here we see Zacchaeus. He made a change. He put himself in a position to hear from God and to see him. And Jesus acknowledged his effort when he climbed up in that sycamore tree. And listen, you could see that he was ready for change, because when the Lord acknowledged him and came down, and Lord ultimately told him, today salvation has come to his house, what did Zacchaeus say? He made a change right away. He stopped and said to the Lord, behold, all my possessions I'll give to the poor. If I've defrauded anyone of anything, I'll give back four times as much. He was willing to change. He wanted change so bad. But he positioned himself in that tree. And sometimes you'll have to do certain things to position yourself. You'll have to make certain efforts, certain strides that you'll have to take if you want to see God perform change in your life. Zacchaeus represents the commitment to change, that commitment to change, and his willingness to change. Sometimes, you know, we might be blocking our own view of the Lord sometimes. And if so, then you've got to get out of your own way. Put yourself in a position where you'll be able to hear from him and be able to talk with him. Zacchaeus did that and was blessed. He got out ahead of the crowd. And sometimes, like Jesus, you just have to have compassion on the crowd and minister to them. Sometimes, like the woman with the issue of blood, you have to press your way through the crowd. Sometimes here, like Zacchaeus, you got to get out ahead of the crowd, get in a position where you can hear from God and be willing to change. And then finally tonight, in the book of Mark chapter 1, let's go back to another amazing example of our Lord and Savior. Mark chapter 1, verse 35 through 37. In the early morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, he left the house, and he went away to a secluded place. And he was praying there. And Simon and his companions, they represent the crowd, Simon and his companions searched for him. And they found him. And they said, "Everyone is looking for you." Look at 38. He said to them, "Let's go somewhere else to the towns nearby so that I may preach there also, for that is what I came for." Jesus totally ignored what he said. He said, "We've all been looking for you. We've all been looking for you." I love Mark 1:35 because it is the head of the church, the Lord Jesus Christ. And what's he doing here? Getting away from the crowd. When we saw him over in Mark 7, it was his compassion for the crowd that caused a great miracle to happen. We saw the woman with the issue of blood. We saw her commitment to press through that crowd. We saw Zacchaeus, it was his willingness to change and get above the crowd. He himself couldn't see because of his stature. He did something about it to improve his vision. And he was willing to change and got above the crowd. And here finally, it's Jesus getting away from the crowd. He got up a great while before day, Mark 1:35 says. And he went to a secluded place, and that's where he prayed. He knew the disciples would be looking for him. He knew people had questions and they were going to be asking him things and pulling on him. He knew that, which is why he got up so early to get away from them. He knew that, which is why he went to a secluded place where he knew they couldn't find him. He knew how to hide from the crowd. And sometimes, my brother and sister, you have to get away from the crowd. There's a crowd of people waiting for you at work tomorrow. You need to get away from the crowd. You say, "What are you talking about now, preacher?" Sometimes you have to get yourself in the presence of God. Make sure that before your busy day, make sure that before your busy week, make sure that before your busy season, that you get away from the crowd. Oh, the crowd's going to pull at you at work. The crowd's going to pull at you at public. The crowd needs your attention, and that's all fine. But you need to get away first and get some time in the presence of Almighty God. Because in his presence is fullness of joy. In his presence, there's a secret place, and the crowd can't get there. The crowd doesn't know the way to the secret place. Jesus found a secluded place. He found a secret place. And oh, for you, my brother and sister, there's a secret place in the Lord. There's a secret place, and there's only one chair in that place. There's only one place to kneel in that place. It's for you. It's for me. It's for you and God. You and God alone. And in the midst of our busy lives, and we're all busy, we're all running, there are places to go and people to see and stuff to do in all of our lives. But I'll tell you this, we better slow down enough to get away from the crowd, to get in the presence of God, and to hear from God before we spend our day and our energy and our time in the presence of the crowd. Well, the crowd is coming. They'll be there tomorrow. They'll be there when you get home. But there's a secret place. Psalm 91 says, "In the shelter, those who abide in the shelter of the Almighty." Listen, there is a shelter, there's a secret place. And when you get there, oh, there's no worry in that place. There's no fear in that place. There's no strife in that place. There is a place in God. How do I get there? What's the way? How do you get to the secret place? Worship him. How do you get to the secret place? Listen, take time to get the word on the inside of you. How do you get to that secret place? Get away. Before you get in front of people, get in front of God. Jesus knew how to get away from the crowd. And when they found him and said, Jesus, where you been? We've been looking everywhere. We've been searching everywhere. Everybody looking for you. Everybody looking for you. Jesus said, come on, let's go to the next town. He knew exactly what they were saying. He ignored them. Let's get going. He was ready for the crowd then because he took time to get away from the crowd. My friend, I'll encourage you. This week, you're going to come across somebody who needs ministry. And if you'll let him, if you'll let the compassion of Christ rise within you, sometimes it's a hug. Sometimes it's just a comforting shoulder. Sometimes it's a phone call. Sometimes God can lay somebody on your heart and he wants you to call that friend of yours you haven't talked to in a while and just say, hey, I'm praying for you and I love you. You'll have compassion on the crowd. And at other times, you'll have to press your way through the doubters and the haters in the crowd. Still at other times, you'll have to put yourself in a position. Put yourself in a position to hear and to see. And then other times, you'll have to get away from the crowd. Let's pray. Father, we've endeavored to share what you laid on our heart for tonight. And we know that you're so mighty. You're so mighty. You're so mighty through the Holy Spirit. And the word is so powerful that you can take the same word and use it in a different way in everybody's life. And so we release you to your perfect work in our lives. Use your word. Confirm, encourage, restore, uplift, correct, whatever the need is tonight. Father, thank you. We all want to be used of you in a greater way. We all want to hear you say one day, well done, good and faithful servant. So teach us compassion to the crowd. And Father, at the same time, teach us how to put ourselves in a position to hear and to see you. Teach us how to get away from the crowd. Teach us, Father God, how to press our way through the crowd. Whatever situation, those who are listening, on the internet or through some other venue at some delayed time. Help them, Father God, in whatever way they need ministry to deal with the crowd. And help those who are here, whatever way they need ministry to deal with the crowd. And help us all to get out ahead of the crowd. Spend time in your presence. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Our prayer room workers are coming now, and if you need further ministry, that's what they're here for. Someone says, I want to be born again. That's what they're here for. You say, I want to receive Jesus. That's what they're here for. You say, I want to be filled with the Spirit. That's what they're here for. You say, I want prayer for healing. That's what they're here for. I want agreement. I want somebody to agree with me in prayer about something. That's what they're here for. And so as we dismiss in a moment, you come on forward. We only ask that ladies come to the ladies, obviously, and the guys come over here to the guys. And you won't leave here like you came, in Jesus' name. It's a powerful week. There's a crowd out there waiting on you. Some of them need ministry. Some of them need you. You need to get away from some of them. Some of them you'll have to press your way through in spite of them. Some of them you'll have to put yourself in a position in spite of them to hear Christ. Whatever it is, I know God's got his hand on you. All right, my brother and sister, if you'll stand to your feet, I think is there anything else, Pastor Tad, Pastor Zach, anything else that we needed? Okay. All right. Well, we just want you to know, thank you for being here tonight. Thank you for being such a great crowd to minister to. We love you. Be here Wednesday night, Hour of Power. God bless you, one and all.